Welcome to Mornings with Pat and Amy for Monday, June 1st. Welcome to June. That happened suddenly. On today's show, not the usual show, we're going to talk about what's going on in the world. We're going to talk about the big Rochester radio announcement that I happen to be part of. And, you know, other things as well. We begin today's show, though, with the country's on fire.
Literally.
And it's, wow. Your husband is a cop, as we've said many times on the show.
He is.
And he's in the middle of this stuff, isn't he?
He sure is.
So how's,
smack dab.
How's that going?
Well, his usual shift is from 11 to 7 overnight. And the past two nights, he has been called out early.
Yeah.
So a couple days ago, it was, 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night, it was at 7. I think it was about 7. So called in early.
Yeah. To control rioters, I would imagine.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he got his riot gear ready and he left. And I have spent the past couple nights awake until about 2, 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
watching random people's Facebook live streams,
mm-hmm.
because we no longer have cable. So I don't get our local news channels. The only news channel I could get was Rochester,
right.
Which was great, but I'm like, it's also not happening.
You're in Syracuse, so that doesn't work, right?
No, so wham news, as much as I love you. But doing that, I had, three different websites pulled up with different news stories. I was checking Twitter, I'm checking Instagram. I was in close contact with 3 or 4 other law enforcement wives that I know well and I'm close with, and it's been a long couple of nights.
Yeah. Is he okay?
Yes.
Has he been hurt or anything like that? Is he?
No.
No. Okay. Has he, as much as you can say, has he been involved in anything particularly violent so far? I'm in Syracuse or?
No. There's a lot of hate. There's a lot of vitriol. There's a lot of, and I understand it. I understand why, but it doesn't make it any less hard sending a loved one,
mm-hmm.
friends out. These aren't just, they're not nameless faces.
Yeah.
For me. And the thing is, I know that African Americans say the same exact thing. And I understand that. And I am educating myself. It is no longer enough to not be racist. I have to be anti-racist. Mm-hmm. And I have to sit down, I have to shut up, and I have to listen. Because it's a problem.
Yeah. I saw in Michigan, there's a cop that was standing in front of protesters and even rioters, and he was yelling out to them, we want to do more, we want to be better, what can we do to help? And they said, okay, march with us, and they did.
And
that's incredible. And then on the complete polar opposite of that, you look at New York City, where somebody in one of their police SUVs ran over the crowd. And
I saw that in a compilation with other officers in other cities.
Yeah.
Pushing people to the ground. And
I think it's so complicated yet not complicated to me.
Right.
There are always going to be people who go extreme with how they act. They're going to, like in Rochester, there are two people, a dude in a cowboy hat and a woman who weren't wearing masks, who are on camera everywhere. Everyone knows who these people are at this point. And they were breaking everything. I mean, they were the initial people going around doing this.
Wow.
And it was really just two people where it began. But then as it escalated, what I heard, and this doesn't, I don't know if this is true or not, but I know that I've seen this around the country. Suddenly the tear gas and the rubber bullets come out, and that's when things escalate.
Right.
Because suddenly you're just standing there protesting, you're not rioting, or you refuse to move. I saw a video, and I forgive me, I don't know where that was, where there were people just sitting in the street, and the cops came and pushed them over. Yeah. There's another video of a cop who pulled someone's mask down and sprayed them right in the face with pepper spray. And there's just no reason to do that. And there's also no reason to burn down a business. But I hit this problem where I am a white kid from Marilla, New York. Mm-hmm. There is a blinking yellow light and cows. I grew up with no context to this, and I know this. So for me to sit here and say rioting doesn't solve anything is the most ignorant thing I could say. Because...
But you know that, but you recognize that.
Right. And you see these people in Rochester. This actually happened. A business owner tried to defend their business and got the hell beat out of them.
I saw that with two by fours.
Yeah. And I feel for those business owners who were in a coronavirus. And a lot of people, I heard someone ask, why now? You know, we had this thing, we've had a couple incidents this year already involving race. You had the guy in the park who was bird watching.
Yes.
You had the young African-American male who was shot, I believe, as an off-duty officer because he thought he was doing something he shouldn't, and he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was going for a jog.
Right.
And they asked, well, why wasn't riding in Atlanta? Why wasn't riding in New York? It's the summary of these things, and it's the fact that everyone's been required, I think, to stay in for months. Mm-hmm. And I think too many things have gone wrong, and now people are just done. They're fed up.
It's been a domino effect too. All of these things have happened in relatively quick succession. Mm-hmm. And with everybody being stuck at home, now is the time where, you know, it's about to explode. It has exploded.
It has exploded, yeah. And I don't know how far it's going to go. I mean, then you have President Trump saying he's going to deploy the military. You can't. He actually can't do that, and he shouldn't, because you never deploy the military. You're on your own people. Like, you just don't do that. The National Guard, sure. I mean, you know, sending more police, sure.
Right.
But you don't do that, and he hasn't made it better. Cuomo's been quiet. And by the way, Cuomo's been dead quiet. Biden's an idiot. He hasn't said anything worthwhile. And he's been mostly quiet. I mean, he said a couple of things, but nothing of substance. I mean, this is a person who you can prove was a racist at one point in his life.
Right.
I am too stupid and out of touch to understand the whole thing. What I know is I have great, great empathy for people of color, because I don't know what it's like to honestly think. I saw this story. My wife was telling me about it. This guy is going to go out and return some stuff to a store, and he needs a bag. So his wife gives him a bag, and it's a pink bag. She says, just use this bag. And he says, no, I can't take that bag. Now, she thought it was because he was like, you know, that's not manly. He's like, no. I can't use that pink bag because someone will think I stole it, because it doesn't fit, because it looks like something, you know what I mean?
I saw something similar. An African-American gentleman talked about, I won't walk around my own neighborhood without my daughter or my dog.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't have my cute little fluffy dog or my adorable daughter with me to prove that I live here, that I'm supposed to be here, there could be problems. And that is heartbreaking.
What kind of life is that? That's not freedom.
No.
And I'm not going to hear the whole thing of, well, if they're doing nothing wrong, the cops show up. Who cares? You run around your neighborhood, have the cops show up and say, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You'd be out. If it was a white person, we'd be outraged. And this is daily life for people of mm-hmm. color.
Right.
I get so frustrated because people, I don't think, really truly understand. We're talking hundreds and hundreds of years of holding an entire race of people back. And no one likes to hear this. They say, that was then. It still happens. You can't, and people have a tough time understanding. When you push down a section of any society for so long, and it starts a domino effect, as you just said. And yes. You end up with poor, you end up with ghetto, you end up with bad educations, and none of this is their fault. And it's not as simple as throwing money at it, though that helps.
It's systemic racism.
Yes. And you just end up with generation after generation after generation of this.
Yeah. And, you know, history has kind of shown us that change is a lot of times almost impossible without civil disobedience. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's incredibly powerful for oppressed people to remind the powers that be that if they don't have justice, they'll burn it all down. Mm-hmm. Society will be disruptive and the entire operation will shut down. I like I said, I'm educating myself. I'm doing some reading, and the Women's Social and Political Union fought to obtain women's suffrage by all means necessary in the early 1900s. That included throwing rocks, breaking windows to demand the right to vote. One of my favorite Disney movies, Newsies, about the newsboy strike in 1899. And it's a bunch of kids who fought for fairer wages and paper buybacks, and that got violent. But they made progress due to a strike that inconvenienced everyone.
Yeah.
And if that's what it's going to take, that's what it's going to take. And as badly as I feel for those business owners that are caught in the crossfires, this is not their fault. This has nothing to do with them. Something's got to give. Our system is not broken. Our system was built effed up from the beginning.
Yeah, it's true. What do you, I'm hearing a lot of people say there's no such thing as good cops. Now, I know that that's not true. Now, I know that's not true, but I do wonder this. How, you would know more about it than I do, of course. How up to date are police officers training? And the reason I ask is because you would think that this stuff wouldn't happen anymore. You would think that not only would you not get some dumbass, you know, clearly murdering a guy by choking him like that, you would also think that you would not see an NYPD officer ran through a crowd.
Right.
Among the other many dozens of things. Now, granted, yes, you are seeing good things that cops are doing, but I saw Chris Rock say this. There's certain jobs, and I'm summarizing what he said. There are just certain jobs you can't have a couple of bad apples. Doctors are one of them. You can't have a bad doctor. People die. Right. Can't have a bad nurse. People get the wrong stuff. And I kind of agree with that. You kind of can't have bad cops. And is it they don't make enough money? We always say this about teachers. Teachers don't make enough money, right? Maybe cops need to make like six figures. Like maybe that would attract more people to the position and maybe that would put a premium on the job. Maybe that would put a premium on training. Maybe that would put a premium on the whole thing. And you would get the very best of the best of the best in that. Whereas I don't know that you get that today. Because, and it's not because they're bad people. It's just, you know, you sit there and I don't know how your husband became a cop. He's a really smart guy. But I mean, you don't have to go to college to do this.
Right.
You do have to go to the academy, and that's not easy, but you don't have to go to college. And I wonder, with a job that's so important, where details matter, where training matters, where handling pressure and the psychology of it maybe matters more than anything, are they getting the right training in 2020, let alone the last hundreds of years? Are they actually getting the right training, or are they just getting the same stuff over and over again, the same good old boys club, the same system of you go in there and you crack some skulls and you go home? And I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just asking, because this is what some people think.
Things have most definitely changed.
Good.
And I can say that because my husband's grandfather was a police officer in the Syracuse area. And the stories that I have heard about what used to happen then, there's some horrifying stuff.
Yeah.
Now, things are still not better. things are still not better, but training has definitely improved. But I can tell you right now that 99% of officers that saw that video with George Floyd, they will say, what the hell is he doing? Mm-hmm. You're never, ever supposed to kneel on someone's neck. Mm-hmm. If you have to put a knee in someone's back, you are putting a knee between their shoulder blades, like high up on their shoulder blades, never on their neck. The man was handcuffed, apparently went to the, I have not watched the whole video. I can't.
It's hard.
Yeah. But from what I had heard, that Mr. Floyd went to the ground of his own accord, mm-hmm. and he was laying down. He was handcuffed. Having a knee in his back to keep him from getting up, fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's, I feel like I am dancing on a razor's edge mm-hmm. with this, because obviously I am invested in law enforcement from a very personal standpoint, but I also understand that the way that policing is done, it's not working.
Yeah.
It's obviously not working.
I agree. And I mean, and every state's a little different. Every
yes.
county, every city is a little different. A lot of them have their own unique issues and sets of problems that they're dealing with. Some more with drugs, some more with, you know, just straight crime. It depends on what it is. I just think that I know that 99% of cops absolutely see that video and go, what the hell?
Right.
However, 99% of cops are also, there's not 99% of cops doing the right things at these protests and these riots.
That is true.
And that's the part that where we get the disconnect is, okay, well, if they're so in touch and they understand it so well, why are they mowing people down with a car? Why are they pulling down people's masks and spraying them? Why are they bowling over people who are peacefully protesting? Because this is how it gets bad, is instead of just having those two or three or this small group of people doing the rioting and looting, what happens is the peaceful protesters get attacked for just being aggressive, not doing technically anything wrong, just being aggressive. Well, you know what I mean?
Right.
They're not throwing things. They're not hurting anybody. They're not looting. They're not setting things on fire. They're just being loud and they're just taking up the street. Right. And right. then tear gas comes in and rubber bullets come in and you know, cars come in. And that's when everyone just decides, okay, no, we're done. And all of a sudden you have a full-on riot. And it's yeah. those decisions that escalate the problem. I think, thankfully, around here, I think we're doing okay with this. I think our cops, for the most part, are doing all right. I think mm-hmm. I say that. I could be wrong, but I think they're doing all right. There's going to be a small group of people in these cities in Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo, and, you know, Utica, and I don't think Auburn, but you never know. Albany, all this stuff. There's going to be these handful of people that do this. But as long as you're just letting the peaceful protesters protest, it should be fine, and just focus on the people who are clearly looting and breaking actual laws. Not right. sort of laws, you know, by not having a permit. Yeah, okay. I agree with you. Nothing has ever changed in this country without rioting. I mean, the Boston Tea Party was a riot. I mean,
the LGBTQ plus community, Stonewall.
Yeah, is a riot. I mean, that is how things change. I don't like it. It doesn't make me feel good because...
No, it shouldn't make anybody feel good.
Innocent people get hurt or die.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be what happens. But sadly, that's the only way the 1% listens. And I'm talking about politicians in this case.
If you are more concerned about property and your favorite store being broken into as opposed to watching somebody die at yeah. the hands of somebody that should be protecting them,
yep.
then well, we got some big problems.
Also, can I point out, if you're a business that didn't have insurance for this, what in the hell were you doing? Now it is your fault. Because I'm sorry, like, when I owned a business, we had insurance for everything.
Yeah.
Where if our whole place burnt down and it wasn't, we would have, there was a little bit we got to pay. but we don't go under for it. Everything right. gets rebuilt. And
I think, well, also piggybacking on the fact that we're in the still, we're still technically in the middle of a worldwide pandemic.
Right.
Like,
and
what the?
Are you going to be open anyway? I mean, even if you are, businesses
are suffering to begin with. So that's another, that's tough. Well,
and I mean, I don't want to say it. I don't mean it so harshly, but I'm going to say it anyway. If your business is going to get burnt down, not the worst time to get your business burnt down, because business is so down that, yeah. hey, maybe you can claim some insurance money on this and actually do better. And I hate right. to say that. And I'm not, because that's probably not going to be what happens. I'm just saying that there are worse things than property being damaged, just as you said. There are worse things yeah. than cars being flipped over, and that's people dying and right. getting hurt and getting beat. And the people who are injuring individuals, they need to go to jail.
Yes.
They need to go to jail. It's
without question.
That's their owner who got beaten so badly, and I have no idea how that person is doing. Those people who did that all need to go to jail. And shame on the people who ran away from that scene and didn't try to help, by the way. Because if you were yeah. so gung-ho for all this stuff, then why weren't you in there helping that person? Even if they were saying things you didn't like, unless they were... There is no one less. That's how you lose a protest. And mm-hmm. and always... But I empathize with people of color, and I empathize with people and how they're reacting to this. And mm-hmm. and I hope everybody stays safe, and I certainly don't want cops to get hurt, but I also don't want cops hurting people. So
also to add into there, being a supporter, being an ally means you show up, you have your sign, you do not instigate, you do not throw things, you don't scream and try and get a reaction from officers. You sit back. This is not your show. You are the sidekick. You are there as a supporting player. Mm-hmm. Sit down, listen, shut up. Mm-hmm. Because some of the live stream stuff that I have seen with these 21 and 22 year old little white girls dressed in their Sperry's and short shorts from, you know, the outlying areas of the city coming in and getting nasty. Mm-hmm. I watched African-American men come up to these women. You couldn't hear exactly what was being said, but from the body language alone, it was back up, like, shut up. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not your show. You are not, no. You are not here to be in the spotlight. You are here to support. Yeah. And that is where it ends.
On a lighter note, I have a new job.
Yeah, you do, boy.
Pat the producer is back with Kimberly and Beck on Radio 95.1 in Rochester, which was, can I say I'm really humbled? I'm really, really humbled by this whole thing.
Okay.
I put, you know, the thing up on Facebook, and, you know, I've been teasing it and being a douche the whole time, but I'm like, no one really probably cares. And I have had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of responses to this.
That's nice.
And thousands of likes. And not that that matters or means anything. It's just humbling is what I'm saying. I missed Rochester a lot. When I came to Syracuse, I really wanted to prove I could do anything. and going to the station I was on and doing that was not, it was not my ideal situation, I think is a good way to put that.
It wasn't your genre.
No, and it just, it's a very, very, and I'm going way deep inside ball, like we're going, you know, this is deep radio stuff that probably nobody cares about. It's a very hard format, because when you work in adult contemporary radio, it's your mom's station. It's mm-hmm. the dentist station. And even if you listen to it every day, you don't want to admit that you listen to it every day, because then you're listening to your mom's station. So you will write down the kid station simply to feel better about yourself, right? Like, that's the one you'll tell people that you listen to. And it's really, really hard to do well in that format of radio. I did well in that format of radio, but I'm going to say this and I'm probably going to regret it. I never felt like Syracuse really embraced me all that much.
Okay. I was going to say, you didn't feel like you were like home.
No, and I just never felt like people cared about what I was doing.
Okay.
And look, we're in radio. We do this for vain reasons. I mean, like I say, we do this to be loved. Mm-hmm. That is why we do this. That's why anybody goes on any stage is to be loved in some fashion. Even if it's hateful love, it's still love. And I never really, honest to God, felt like Syracuse cared about what I was doing every morning. I worked really hard to try, and some of that is not at all my fault, and certainly none of it's their fault either. It's just the way it went. And it would have taken probably another 5 years for people to even realize what I was doing and recognize me. And
that's a long time.
That's a long time, and it already took 5 years. And I always say it in our business, it takes 2 years for people to even remotely realize you're there. It takes five for them to remember you at all. And it would just been five, and that's what was happening. Was finally, people were starting to be like, oh, yeah, I know you. I listen all the time. Mm-hmm. But it really does take a long time, and it was frustrating for me personally. Because I can't listen to another Maroon 5 song. And I hate Christmas music. So, and I don't hate Christmas. It's just, you know, when you have to hear it for however many years I had to hear it every single, oh my God, you have a special hatred in your heart, Amy, for Johnny Mathis and Burl Ives. Okay. And on top of that, it's just, you know, it is, it's the dentist's office station. There's nothing wrong with that. It is not, I have always been an opinionated a-hole, and you kind of can't be that on that station. So, I'm going home, and a lot of people are wondering why. Why would I go back to the show that got me fired? It's really simple. They apologized years ago.
Wait, the show or the company?
Yeah, no, not the company. My God, no. No, Kimberly and Beck, individually, and that's the thing. Most people think that they have no hearts and they're terrible. No, they individually apologized to me with complete sincerity years and years ago. And I don't really ask for people for much. I mean, people screw up, and they did. And they've always tried to help me get jobs. They've always tried to help me in my career. They've never stood in the way of me. They've always tried to help. And here I am in a recession, depression. There are no jobs. And I don't have to move to Guam to work in radio. I can just go down the road back to the show I had a ton of success. And back to the city that really has always loved me, that's always been there, that's always supported, that's always shown interest, and have fun with them again. It was like, okay, yeah, I got to do that. I got to go back to that job. And I don't know that most people would go back. I mean, would you go back to an old job that fired you technically or got you fired?
Well, see, I didn't live in Rochester when you were on air.
Right.
So what, I don't know what happened.
So it was 2012, and I was working for a different company.
Yeah, I was in North Carolina at that point.
North Kakalaki.
Yep.
And I edited audio. They said bad things about two grocery chains, and to protect them, and at the request of certain supervisors, I edited that audio, got caught. Didn't tell people what I was. I didn't rat anybody out because I didn't think it was right to do that. And I also didn't think I was going to get fired for it. I thought I might get suspended. I mean, because there are so many things that Kim and Beck did that got them suspended over the years. And I thought, they're not going to fire me for crying. They're just going to probably suspend. And that sucks, but they're going to probably suspend me without pay, and it's going to suck, but whatever. And I'll come back. It'll be fine. Now, they straight up fired me. This is right before my birthday, right after Thanksgiving. Oh. And that was 6 years of my career gone like, you know, right. in an instant. And to be honest, I, you know, most people think I'm, and probably rightfully so, the way Kimberly and Beck tell the story, but they probably think I'm bitter. I actually, you know, all these years later, I'm not very bitter. I did the wrong thing. And I also didn't tell the whole story to my supervisors. I should have said, I should have told them what I was told to do. I should have told them why I did that. Instead, I buried it, and that's my fault. Then I was a dumb kid. I was learning. I was learning mm-hmm. about life. I was learning about business, and I'm not who I am today. Then I was, what, 30? 31 maybe, and I was still a dumbass, and today I'm 38 with a second kid on the way, and I've owned two homes. Like,
I'm not a dumbass.
I have well, I'm still a dumbass, but I have stocks, like, now.
I'm a grown, yeah. I'm an adult.
You know, I know I'm an adult because just trying to install one kitchen countertop killed me this weekend. So that's how you know that you've grown older. But
you're no longer Pat the producer, you're Pat the general contractor.
Oh my God.
That's getting terrible reviews on Yelp.
Terrible, terrible reviews on Yelp. Just do not hire me on Nextdoor. Whatever you do, it'd be a terrible choice.
Half a star.
If I'm lucky, if I'm honestly lucky. But no, it's the years have gone by. I've learned a lot. I have no hatred in my heart for any of those people. They obviously did what they thought they were supposed to do. And I mean, not only Kimberly Beck, but even the people I used to work for. I just don't. I love them dear. I love most of them dearly. Two people, I think, in particular, hate me, but I don't hate them. I wish they wouldn't hate me, but it is what it is. And now I get to go back and do it again. And I won't be editing audio anymore for two reasons. One, because I've learned, and two, because you can't do that anymore. Everybody records everything in like 10 places, but it's 2020. They have ways. So I'm legit excited. And while it's going to be different because it's not me in control, it's me just playing a supporting role. I get to have a lot of fun, and I get to bring all my characters back because, yeah, you don't know. I mean, there's Big Baby Jesus. He's a character of mine who lives on Avenue D. And he pimping the hose. It's good. It's good. Yeah.
I'm thinking that even had I lived in Rochester, I don't know if this would have been the station for me.
There's Philip the Apple Genius. There's Philip the Apple Genius. He explains all of your Apple tech problems. There's Gary in Buffalo, who's a big Bills fan, like him. There's Saggy Maggie Brooks, the former county executive. She hates me with a fire of a thousand suns because I used to do the droopy dog voice for her. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, there's a whole cast of people who get to come back on the air one way or another. So we'll see how that goes. And, people seem very excited about it. I'm also excited, and, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm not looking forward to commuting. A lot of people have been asking that.
That doesn't sound fun.
Because we, you know, my wife has a really good job here. And we're about to have a baby, and I moved to Syracuse when we had Rory, and I'm never doing that again. You know, moving while you have just, no, there is no worse hell than that. So I'm going to commute. It's an afternoon show, so I don't have to be there till like 10:30, 11 o'clock. Sounds great to me. And that should be fun, and it should be good. And eventually will we move? Maybe. It depends on, you know, my wife's career and where that takes her, but yeah. That's the story.
That's the tea.
So listen if you want on the iHeartRadio apps or Radio 95.1 in Rochester. There you go. I'll be on there from 2 to 7 every single. And they'll be doing like 8 other things, but that's fine. Doesn't matter. I hate home improvement in the worst way.
Pat, the general contractor, at your service, ladies and gentlemen.
Nope. You got a computer that needs fixing, you bring it right to me.
Yeah.
You want a kitchen countertop? Mm-mm. Nope.
Honestly, I'm sorry. My husband is very handy. I'm talking has done yards and yards of tiling at our house and backsplash and mm-hmm. putting in the cabinets and staining and sanding and painting and all that stuff. He left the countertops up to the professionals. Yeah. So what made you think that that would be a good idea to take on yourself?
This is a great point, Amy. You make great points.
Ego. You got to slap that ego right in the face.
So, okay. So that wasn't it. That actually was. Normally, I'd agree with you. That actually wasn't it. So I've had this leak going under our kitchen sink now, and to the point where I was cleaning everything out because I noticed the leak, and like there was like bad amounts of mold under
I hate that. Mm-hmm.
So I bleached it and killed everything and cleaned it. But I'm sitting there, I'm like there's like three different things leaking under the sink. So I'm like, okay, I got to replace the sink. It was very old. It was busted and gross. There was no getting this thing back. And then I'm sitting there like, well, I want to replace the countertops. Why am I going to take a new sink and put it on these awful, pink, disgusting countertops that we have in this house? I'm going to replace them myself.
With what?
So, no, just what do they call that? The fake stuff, the fake wood stuff,
fake wood stuff.
Yeah, just crappy, generic
plywood.
Yeah, I mean, no, but like,
no, it's not plywood.
No, it's got you know, a black rock looking laminate. Thank you.
Okay.
From the get-go, you should know this is going to go bad. I don't even know what I'm installing in my house. So I go to Lowe's, I get the laminate, I come home, I cut the first piece, everything's going fine, and then it doesn't fit right. So then I gotta cut it. I don't cut it quite right, but you know what, it's livable. So then I got to cut out the sink. The sink is too far over. It's bumping into the dishwasher. Okay, fine. So I adjust that. Now I got to get the sink clips under there. And whoever invented these effing sink clips can jump off the Empire State Building, because they are the worst things I have ever installed on anything. I had to recut and reform and do all this crap. It was awful. Everything
that's
on my body hurts.
That's why you measure twice, cut once.
And I did. And that's how stupid I am. So I call. That was Saturday night that I finally am like, okay, I can't do this anymore. I'm exhausted. I'm throwing stuff. I'm angry. It's bad. I go take a bath. I took a bath, Amy. I took a bath to relax with a beer, by the way. Always a good decision. So yesterday, I get up. I start working again. I'm like, this is going to be great. All I got to do is cut out the little section. I just got to get the corner piece connected. This is going to be great. I cut the corner piece. I'm feeling good. I put it in there. It doesn't fit. And here's the part I don't understand. It is the exact same width as the other one. The cabinets are the same width all the way around. And yet it's sticking out an inch farther than the rest of the damn countertop. I don't get it. I don't get it. So I end up saying, okay, this is already screwed. So I take like a giant chunk off the back of the thing to try to, you know, fit it. That like makes it look like crap, but whatever. I can fix that later or something. Still is overhanging. It's still like a centimeter or so too far. And I have no more room. I have no idea. And on top of that, where the crack is, it's got to be a quarter inch gap. It's huge. I can't get it any tighter. I can't. And I am just, I sit down and I almost cry because I have spent 2 days of my life doing this damn thing. And I just can't, because I can't tell you how many things I tried and how many, I just cannot get it. So I get the sink secured. That's good. Sink works. Everything works. Plumbing's good. Great. New dishwasher too, because our old one was dead. Awesome. All of that's hooked up. All that works. So I got a very nice, gigantic sink. Awesome. Countertop has a giant gap in it. I put duct tape over it and called it a friggin' day. That was it.
Oh.
Black duct tape, so it matches.
But you know what they say. If you can't duck it, f*** it.
I don't know why this is so hard. Why is home improvement so hard?
I don't know, but that's why people do it professionally for a living. And this is why we throw money at them to fix the problem so we don't go crazy doing it.
But this is the part that pisses me off. Okay, the total for the countertop, not the sink, you know, was like $300. Like, okay. Not even $300 for the two pieces of countertop I had to put in. If I call the guy, it's going to be like $1,500 friggin' dollars just to do that.
Yeah, but you'd have 2 days of your life back now. And it would be done.
I know.
It would look really good without the duct tape.
The mayor, P. Kennedy, and I were just talking about this crap. He said he's got a principle about you always hire someone because you're stimulating the economy. It's good for them. And it saves you time. And I totally agree. I don't have that kind of money right now. Okay?
Right.
And I'm so defeated.
Oh.
I'm so defeated. And there's nothing that makes me feel dumber. And you know what I hate? So you go into any pick a hardware store. Anyone. Especially big box ones. And you look for someone to help you. You can't find someone. Okay? And if you do, that's not their department or someone's on friggin' lunch. And you do find someone to help you, and it's always that guy who's like, you can't do it with those clips, dumbass. It's like, I don't know. I'm asking for help from you, sir, because you work here and seem to know things. I am not a contractor. I don't do this for a living. I don't do this for fun. I do this because I have to, and you're a hardware store that has a slogan about, like, you can build it, we can help, for example. Okay? So, I'm here because you can help me, and you're like giving me a tone that I'm stupid. And I hate it. I hate it so much because they just think so little of you. It's yeah.
Oh, well, you know, it's kind of similar when I take my car to get my car fixed and I barely know my ass from my elbow when it comes to life in general, but cars, yeah. I can show you where you put the oil, and I can show you where you put the washer fluid, and I can, yeah, that's
there's people who don't know that
pretty much to the extent of my, and I can fill up my gas tank,
good,
and I can change my windshield wipers, so I can do all of these little things, but. It's like when people are, you know, call it, oh, well, I just need to get an oil change. Yeah, well, you know, your alternator is blah, 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 and this is stripped, and your rotors and the rotation and the and I'm like, yeah. How much is that going to cost? Yeah, it's going to be about $1,300. Yeah, we're going to, is it going to go? Is my car going to still drive? Is it going to explode? No? Okay, yeah, I'll just take the oil change for right now. Thanks.
Well, because they're always trying to upsell you. They're always trying to upsell you. And that's another thing. Now, I know enough about cars. And that's the thing. I'm actually pretty good at plumbing. Like, that part's not bad. I get plumbing. I can do some tile. I can install a toilet with the best of them. And that's a gross job, but I can do it. I can hang things. And I can mount TVs. I can do general yard work. Like, I can do a lot of, I can do more stuff than I give myself credit for, because there are people who don't do a damn thing. But if it involves wood, nope. Not a chance.
Yeah. You know, just know when to call in the big guns for next time. Save that money for, you know, for the projects that you know you can do.
Trying to say that my duct tape job doesn't look classy.
I can't wait to see it.
Son of a bitch. Now, here's the thing. It does work. Now, the countertops do work. They're not moving around. They're secure. It's just a giant friggin' crack and a little bit of an overhang.
I was going to say, you know, it's not going to help your resale value.
No, it's not. So I'm going to have someone do it. But it works.
It works.
The sink is great. Legitimately, the sink is great, because we had you know, the two-tub one, and we hate that.
I hate those.
So I just put a giant one.
I love those.
Like a giant, the biggest one you can get, I put that in there. Stainless steel bastard with,
yes,
with the
that's
pull
what we
down
have.
Thing. You know, so instead of the squirter, you know what I mean?
For future reference,
yeah.
Those things don't always last very long.
Well, whatever.
I'm just letting you know. You know what? It's gonna get you through till you have to sell this house, maybe eventually.
If I ever do. Who's to say?
If you die in this house, I'm going to put money on it right now that you will have to replace that at some point.
I'm going to tell you what. If I die in this house, I will have done a damn other thing to this thing. It's just going to continue to rot and be gross. Amy, what'd you learn today?
When in doubt, call a contractor.
I learned that too. I learned that too. Thank you for listening to Mornings with Pat and Amy. We appreciate it. On the iHeartRadio app, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, and you know wherever you get podcasts. Also at 315 Live and 315live.com and their app, which is wonderful. Thanks to Rockbox Recording for being amazing. I will be seeing, or I should say hearing y'all later this afternoon on Radio 95.1 with Kimberly and Beck. And until tomorrow morning, Amy, have a wonderful day.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.